The healthcare detective Frank Lalle has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. It's useful. Get it. Mr. Lalle is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can. This is one of those moments. Hi, Frank.
Hi. I love when you tell the listeners, get my book. I'll tell you something. Honestly, this is a very good time of the year to get my book because it explains in detail, at least, you know, one chapter and a little bit more about exactly what to do in open enrollment period, which we're about to enter. And it's very tricky terrain. I'll give you some tips today, but the book actually has a lot more detail. Not to plug myself, but anyway, you plugged me first, so I'm blaming you.
Yeah, it's okay. I will definitely. What's the word that they use now? I will own that.
Okay.
What the heck did that word come?
Okay, so today, what I really want to do is update the listeners on what's really happening to Obamacare. There's so much news out there. I want to sort of knife right through it. And I'm going to clarify a couple of really crucial points along the way here, including some real surprises, like who's actually going to get hurt next year and who may actually come out okay. And I'll tell you something, it's not what you think. But first, grab a pencil. Here's an important date. For anybody in the Affordable Care Act, in Obamacare, you have until December 15th to pick a plan. And by the way, that includes people who are interested in Obamacare. You have until December 15th to pick a plan. Now, some states, all the New York listeners, you're actually allowed to sign up as late as January 31st, 2018. But to be sure you'll have coverage for all of next year, sign up by December 15th. That gives the insurance companies 2 weeks to enroll you on January 1st, so you're sure to get 12 months of coverage. If you don't sign up until January, you're not going to get coverage till probably the middle of February. So December 15th, that's the key date. Now, the big news for Obamacare 2018 is, and I'm sure you've heard this, President Trump has stopped paying the cost-sharing subsidies. Now, let's be very clear about what that is. That's the money reimbursed to insurance companies for the rock-bottom copays and deductibles the companies give to the working people and the poor. Okay? Now, who are the working people? Those are individuals making, you know, say $15,000, $20,000, okay? And families getting by on around, let's say, $40,000. Trump calls that money paid to the insurance companies a ripoff by greedy insurance executives. But, hey, guess what? Maybe for the first time in his presidency, he's wrong, all right?
First time for everything.
Yeah, first time ever.
Make a note.
Jot it down. Yeah, first time ever. The money is actually a repayment to the insurance companies for the cost-sharing discounts they are required to give to the working people and the poor. Under the law, it's mandated. They have to provide these discounts. And that law, obviously, is the Affordable Care Act. Now, you're going to hear a lot. You've already heard a lot. You're going to hear a lot more about bipartisan fixes down in Congress. Don't listen to it, okay? Ignore the yapping. My point is, they're not going to prop up Obamacare. So here's what will happen. Without the subsidies, insurance companies will raise premiums by 20% or more to stay solvent, all right? They're in business to make a profit. They're going to raise their premiums to stay solvent. And around 1 million people will get priced out of their insurance. And honestly, that's a national shame to reduce the number of people who have insurance and who will just simply be priced out of the market. But here's the surprise. Working people should actually come out pretty good next year because Obamacare insurers still have to give them the low copays, okay? And deductibles down to as low as $255. In addition, the insurance companies, I'm sorry, the poor will get the premium subsidies. All right, there are two layers of subsidies here, cost-sharing subsidies and then premium subsidies. So they're going to get premium subsidies that are going to be rising, and it's going to insulate them from the increases the insurance companies will be demanding. As insurance companies demand higher premiums, the subsidies go up. Now, here's a wonderful fact. The federal government figures to pay more in rising premium subsidies than it saves on cutting out the cost-sharing payments. So is President Trump's, is he a great deal maker or what? That's one question I got for you. Now, even worse, the losers will be many of Trump's vocal supporters. These are the people, they're business owners and individuals making around $100,000, and in some cases a lot more. They've, for years now, they've resented paying the higher premiums for Obamacare, you know, with all its benefits like maternity care and substance abuse. And these people say, well, I don't need that. Why am I paying for it? You just drove up my cost of insurance. But their premiums will now rise 20% to 50%. Who knows? It's 20% is just an average here. And they don't collect any subsidies. So that's going to be money right out of their pockets. And that, as I say, these are Trump's supporters. So, okay, let's talk about the listeners. What should the listeners do? If you get Obamacare or you buy insurance on your own outside of work, here's what you should know, okay? If you're an individual making up to $30,000, or a family making up to, let's say, $60,000, you can pretty much relax. As I've indicated here, your Obamacare premium subsidies will rise, and you're going to roughly come out whole, okay? But if you're an individual making around $50,000, that's an individual, or a family making around $100,000, you're going to have to decide how much insurance your family can afford. I mean, we're back to the bad old days. We have to make that balance between what can I afford and what benefits I want and what can I actually dig deeper into my pocket to pay for.
Can I just ask a quick question around that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, simply because that 50 to 100 is, you know, mm-hmm. There are a lot of new, younger people in that mm-hmm. range.
Right.
I would think.
Right.
And if I possibly was paying attention, possibly not, but it was that they weren't getting into the market anyway?
Well, not enough of them were getting in. The insurance companies were hoping about 30% of their pools would be young and healthy people who would, frankly, they would pay higher premiums and not go to the doctor as often and file claims. And therefore, the profits they made on those people
should offset
help them pay for the sicker, the older and sicker people in the pool. Not enough individuals signed up. That's a tough, I mean, young and healthy people figure, you know, I'm not
young and healthy.
I'm young and healthy. I'm fine. I don't need insurance.
And
well, you don't need it until you twist your ankle playing basketball and get hit with a $20,000 bill at the ER or get into a car accident. I know it wasn't your fault, but you still got slammed and broke your wrist, or get sick. Believe me, I've been in plenty of hospitals the last couple of years, and I see young people. It ain't just the old. So that's a trade-off that people have to make in the amount of insurance, unfortunately, that we're back to. Under Obamacare, there's blanket coverage pretty much with the 10 essential benefits that you get, maternity care and drug abuse counseling and all the rest. You're pretty much insulated. But if you're on your own, you're on your own. And that's a decision that some young people will be making now. So let's say you decide you don't want Obamacare. You don't need all that protection. You're going to go out into the individual market. Be careful. Be very careful. There are lots of Swiss cheese policies out there where you don't realize you didn't get covered for stuff until it's too late. you get hit with those. But look, here's a statistic. Two-thirds of the families driven into bankruptcy by medical bills, two-thirds of them, have health insurance. But it's health insurance in name only. So, and I would just say one more thing. And I don't think there's anything crueler that I can think of at the moment than this. Somebody on the other end of the phone saying to you, I'm sorry, you're not covered for that. You owe the entire bill. Have a nice day.
Yeah, and how do you, I mean, again, I lived through the bad old days and numerous, you know, the bad old days of pre-existing conditions, the bad old days, lots of stuff from the bad old days. And
right. How do you protect yourself?
Yeah, what do you listen to? Because I tell you, once again, you've got the glaze
it's hard.
Factor.
That's a difficult question, but here's my advice. Get a good independent broker. Independent insurance broker. They're out there, okay? I would recommend that you talk to family and friends, do that kind of thing, look on the internet. But then take another step. Interview at least three independent insurance brokers that you have one reason or another to think will be pretty good. All right, interview three of them. Then pick the one you trust. And then grill him or her about each plan's benefits. Be very, very clear about the benefits. And never, never, never settle for the lowest premiums. Never do that. Because the lower the premiums, the higher the hidden costs. I mean, the insurance company is going to find a way to make money on you one way or another. What you need to understand, what your broker needs to explain to you, is how the insurance company is making money on you. And if that's okay with you, if that's cool, all right, it's higher premiums, but I get better coverage, or it's a lower premium, but I really don't care about those benefits, fine, as long as you understand it. What we're trying to do here is eliminate nasty surprises that right. can drain your savings, if nothing else.
All right, now we've got about 2 minutes left. Is there a place to get, I'm certain that not all brokers are created equal.
No, not all brokers are created equal. I really think you fall back on family and friends. I mean, the personal experience of people that you trust is the best thing you can do. You can go onto the internet and you can do some searches, and trusted brokers who've won awards. I think people, let's say they go on the internet, or let's say they talk to their Uncle Louie, and they really trust Louie, and they just sign up that insurance broker. Don't do that. Get a couple of names. Get two or three names. The same thing you would do if you were facing a major surgery, because this is a surgery that can drain your wallet. They'll go in there and dig deep and take every penny of your savings if you end up with a policy that you didn't understand that doesn't cover. Oh, really? It doesn't cover that? No, it's right here in the fine print. Why didn't the insurance company explain that to you? Why? Well, because he was lazy or she was lazy. You need to say to that broker who speaks insurance ease, okay? You don't speak it, but that insurance broker does. Read the damn policy, every little bit of it. And tell me what's covered here and what is not covered. And never buy a narrow policy. They're out there. I mean, these policies are going to be coming back under Trump Care. Policies that say cover you only for cancer or only for two or three diseases. Or the reverse, cover you for everything but
right.
Nasty surprises.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
No surprises, guys. So I wish I had a magic bullet. I wish I could give you the names of four or five people in the tri-state area that I trust, but
actually,
I can't.
The family and friends is a very good. That's a
yeah,
great
family,
place to start.
Family and friends is really the deal, but don't settle for Uncle Louie's favorite. You know, that may be his nephew. It's in most cases, it's his nephew who's just getting into the business.
Right.
He's looking for clients. And you know what? The nephew doesn't know nothing. He's just, I mean, that's another question you can ask. Obvious. It's an obvious question. How long have you been doing this?
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, how long have you been doing this? And tell me somebody besides Uncle Louie that I can talk to as a reference. You know, if it's the mayor of the town, then maybe that's a really good reference. Just approach it the same way you would approach any really serious person that your accountant that you count on to keep your taxes as low as possible. You don't just walk down the street
Get any old person
and tap somebody on the shoulder and say, "Who's your accountant? Can I sign him up?"
Right.
So don't do the same thing here.
All right. Thank you, Frank. The healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And look for and find his book, Your Best Healthcare Now.